Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Bengal Tiger Recruiting Podcast. I'm Billy Embody. With me is Shay Dixon. As always, we're going to lead off with a topic we have never discussed before. The number one player in the country in the class of 2025, Bryce Underwood. Over the weekend, though, it was Michigan that landed a commitment from a newly offered quarterback, Carter Smith, who LSU hosted this summer for camp. The four-star 2025 prospect from Florida committed to the Wolverines. And Shay, as we will flash Carter Smith's profile on the screen there for folks for just a brief second, this is obviously noteworthy because Michigan is in the running for Bryce Underwood.
Yeah, I mean, Bryce Underwood's a kid who lives in Michigan about an hour from campus. I think what you're looking at right now is a situation at quarterback for next year where this has been considered really an LSU-Michigan race. I know that Underwood put out a top seven, but Michigan taking a quarterback, what, less than 2 months before Underwood announces, is you almost wonder, is it like a waving of the white flag in a way? Because Carter Smith is a very talented quarterback. Michigan brought him up there on a visit. They offered him, and now they've got him committed in very short order. They did it in the span of just a couple of weeks, how all this unfolded. So to me, it seems they saw Underwood had not visited for a game yet at Michigan this year. He had been to LSU for a game. He had taken visits elsewhere, but not Michigan to a game. And the last time he was there was briefly on the Sunday after the Bayou Splash, which was at LSU, where he spent, I think, three nights it was before going back home to Michigan and then the dead period hitting. So if you're a Michigan fan, I think you would say, hey, look, our staff's obviously going to recruit Bryce Underwood to the end. But the reality is they feel like Carter Smith's a really good quarterback. Look, Joe Sloan had him at LSU this summer working out at camp, but continue to go after Underwood and McIntyre. And I think that Michigan basically said, hey, look, if Carter Smith is ready to commit, we'll take him. Let's get it done. And then we've got a quarterback we really like. Where does it leave LSU with Underwood? Billy, this is, he has a top seven. Now, five of the top seven teams on his list have taken a quarterback for next year already. Now, everybody would take Bryce Underwood, but five of the seven have a commitment. The only two that don't are Bama and LSU. And Bama is kind of trending for George McIntyre, and that's the other name on LSU's list. So just reading how it unfolds, how I just described it, laid it out, signs point to LSU right now.
Yeah, I think this is one of those recruitments that if it weren't to go LSU's way, you're sitting back and trying to figure out what the heck happened. You know, he's made a couple other visits, Colorado, Penn State this fall, but I mean, this is one where LSU has had a lot of momentum over the summer, kind of dating back to his first visit in the spring where the ball kind of got rolling. And then you saw him come back for Bayou Splash, and then you saw him make it in for a game, which was important. And again, we've kind of said it, we've probably said it for what, 3 or 4 months now, that if he were to make a decision on the day that we're talking about him, it would be LSU. And there's no reason for us to feel any different right now about that stance. So I think Michigan just, you know, quickly made a move on Carter Smith. This was something that developed over the last month too, which is a little noteworthy. Like you said, doesn't take them maybe out of the running for Bryce Underwood. It doesn't. They wouldn't turn away Bryce Underwood, and same goes for any of these teams in his top group. But again, it is just noteworthy just because he has been, you know, he's been their top overall target for so long. And so for them to make a move like this kind of relatively quickly, that says a lot. But you know, I think just credit to Joe Sloan and this entire staff for the job they've done recruiting him and continuing to work their plan and put it all in place. Because if it does in fact pay off on January 6th, this is a program changing type of commitment.
Yeah, we'll see if any other schools pop up between now and the dead period, really, because that starts in mid-December and runs through his commitment date, meaning he wouldn't be able to visit any coaches face-to-face during that stretch. And remember, he's only a junior, so he can't do official visits. He's not doing in-home visits. It would just be a matter of him going to someone's campus. Outside of that, right now, Billy, I think that we all agree that LSU is the team to beat.
Yeah. Agreed. And at some point, I mean, if we get to early December, I mean, I think the On3 RPM picks have got to just fly. You know, if there's no visits happening for him in December, I mean, this is about it's as straightforward as it gets.
Like, we just talked basically 5 minutes about a kid where we're trying to cautiously move forward with this because we're doing it without mentioning this is the number one player in the country. Like, people think he's the best quarterback since Trevor Lawrence, probably. This is a program changer for you. Like, if LSU gets a Bryce Underwood, it's one of the biggest commitments they've ever gotten in the history of the program relative to going to Michigan to get a five-star number one overall player at quarterback. So, we're trying not to get too overhyped here and just let's wait and see what happens. Let's see if he pops up anywhere, or has LSU played all their cards right and it's lining up for him.
Yeah, this isn't one that, I mean, we are sitting here, you know, with a silent commitment and trying to weigh, okay, will this like get across the finish line? You know, that was kind of the Colin Simmons debate you and I internally kind of had this summer is, all right, we know he's silently committed. Let's go ahead and do this and see if they can hold on. But that's not the case with Bryce Underwood. He's not, from what we hear, he's not made that type of a, you know, commitment to somewhere, and especially LSU. So we'll be watching it closely. And once that, you know, I think at this point, it's pretty safe to say we'll probably put picks in. I'm not sure. I'm at the point where LSU is that team to beat. Maybe it's time to let him fly. I don't know. But
I said on the board, I would wait till the dead period is my approach.
Yeah.
If he doesn't visit anywhere else, then it's just a matter of, okay, we've got all the facts then. Let's see how it plays out.
Yep. So we'll be watching it very, very closely. And we're also watching a number one player at his position in the state of Louisiana who has now set his commitment date for December. And that is Harlan Berry, the four-star running back. He'll be a five-star at some point as the On3 industry ranking kind of catches up with the run of, over the course of the recruiting process for each class, they add five stars. So it's a small group to begin with. And then as the process gets closer and closer to National Signing Day, then the On3 industry ranking expands. But he's set to make his decision on December 18th, and his finalists are LSU, Texas, and Florida. And Shay, he was back on campus this weekend for the Florida game. He's one of the most explosive running backs in the country. Frank Wilson's done a great job prioritizing him. You see the On3 RPM if you're watching on the Bengal Tiger YouTube channel, and things are sitting in a good spot here.
Well, our part of that heavy trend towards LSU on the RPM is you and I. We both have picks in for Harlan Berry to LSU. You put yours in basically the day they offered, that Frank Wilson offered him a scholarship. I put mine in about a month ago when I started to hear the buzz that, okay, he looks like he's going to shut it down once his junior year comes to an end. Again, right now what we're talking about, what we're seeing on the offense on a Saturday, this number one offense in the country that has the best quarterback, best player in college football right now in Jaden Daniels, that's got the number one wide receiver in receiving yards in Malik Nabers. It's got the number one wide receiver in touchdown catches in Brian Thomas. It's elite, elite stuff. What we're talking about in recruiting right now in this segment, the past two segments, are the byproduct of that in a way. Like, these kids see, all right, LSU's got the best offense in America. A Bryce Underwood could go to LSU and play. And by the time Bryce Underwood commits, Harlan Berry will have already be committed to a school. We feel that he stays home at LSU. That's the number one running back in the country. Oh, and we've also already got, I'm speaking in LSU terms as a coach here, to pitch to Bryce Underwood. If I'm Joe Sloan, it's you see the number one offense. You see what Jaden Daniels just did. You know you want to play in the SEC, but you've already got committed in your class potentially a number one overall running back in the country, a five-star receiver is ranked in the top five nationally in DeCorian Moore, a number one receiver in Louisiana right now in Teron Francis, and the dominoes are only going to continue to fall for you on offense. They've recruited great offensive linemen in these classes. They will always recruit great receivers. They always have running backs coming. Look, Harlan Berry and James Simon in North Louisiana could give you two top 10 running backs nationally. It is setting up right now to be a banner type of year. And you've got DeCorian Moore committed, and you've got J.D. LaFleur and Brett Borderlon and these guys from Louisiana already committed. You've tossed in Teron Francis now, the best receiver in the state for next year. You're coming up on an important date here, November 30th. Keelan Moses commits. We both have picked Keelan Moses to commit to LSU. He's the local kid at U High, linebacker, four-star top 300 player. But he's also close with a lot of these guys, especially in Louisiana. And if, Billy, if a domino like DeCorian Moore drops, and then Teron Francis, and then Keelan Moses, and then Harlan Berry, then DeCorian, and then you get a Bryce Underwood, LSU would probably be sitting with the number one class in the country right then. But the amount of talent you could then pitch to is endless. Like your board shrinks automatically because you say, hey, we're coming off a season where we had the best offense in college football, and we have a recruiting class now that is literally made up of nothing but the number one and two players at each position at quarterback, receiver, and running back.
Yeah, exactly. It's all shaping up to be a banner type of year in the 2025 class for LSU. Harlan Berry's somebody that, I mean, if you talk to some people around his recruitment close to it, leaving the summer, Texas was a school that was really starting to threaten. They've done a really nice job of recruiting running backs over the course of Tashard Choice's time in Austin. But credit to Frank Wilson, it appears like everything we're hearing is positive for LSU, and they've swung back and they've put it all together, both on the field and on the recruiting trail recruiting him. So Brian Kelly was out there to see him this fall in person with Frank Wilson during the bye week. So that was important as well. But when you look at LSU's need for this position, I think it's a little bit, maybe even higher than we kind of want to, you know, you look at other spots on this team, especially on defense, but you know, running back quietly is a big need in that 2025 class to kind of build off of your Caleb Jackson and Trey Holly and Caden Durham. Harlan Berry and James Simon are very important to solidifying that long-term future at the position.
Yeah, and they've just done such a good job of Berry. I think they were a second offer after Grambling offered right around track season that spring before his sophomore year, right after his freshman season. But boy, he flies. He's already got state titles in the 100 and 200. Our comp is Jamal Williams, I guess, to give Louisiana folks and a feel for it. He's rest in peace, Joe McKnight type of player. If you're a Saints fan, Reggie Bush, like, put on his highlights, he just glides all over the field, and that's 10.5 speed in the 100. I mean, he is an absolute blazer who can also carry the football side to side and juke you and do everything else. So much more than just a home run back. Boy, this would be one of the biggest commitments you can get. He's the best running back in Louisiana since Fournette, who, coincidentally, Frank Wilson also recruited.
Yeah, the Harlan Berry offer was interesting because he camped and we had heard he had gotten the offer, and then it actually didn't happen until Bayou Splash later that summer when he came back through and hung out for the whole day with LSU. So a couple programs saw that we had tweeted that he got the offer and then made the move after that at Ohio State and a couple others. So but Frank Wilson has been all over it. I mean, that was the right thing to do. Bring his family back instead of just, you know, after a camp, just bring him back. They did the full unofficial visit, red carpet treatment. But Harlan Berry has been priority 1A with James Simon in this 2025 class. I think it's the only offer that they have out at the running back position in 2025. I'm pretty sure those two. I could be wrong on that. I'm going to look to check my.
I think there's an early Deshaun Ford offer out from the last staff too, as well. So
yep, you are correct. So there it is. Yeah. So those three, the three of the in-state running backs have offers, right. and two are really the ones that are being recruited. So we'll see. Everything looking good on that front, Shay. And speaking of looking good, you want to make sure your financial future looks the part as well, which is why you've got to check out our friend Zach Payne and his team at Green State Wealth Management for all your financial planning needs, whether it's 401k, retirement, IRAs, saving for a big purchase, whatever. Zach and his team at Green State Wealth Management can help you out. They are all over it when it comes to reaching out to you to make sure you're okay with what they're planning. Actually, when I was on the site getting it ready here, if you're watching on YouTube, one of his team members reached out, kind of like the live chat feature on our friends at Rogue Shop. They want to help you. And the best part about Zach Payne is he's trying to reinvest what he does and helps you guys out with into LSU football. So how he can take whatever he makes off of his services and pour it back into the program, that's the good thing. And that's why we wanted to partner with him, as he's the type of friend to the Bengal Tiger and LSU football that we were looking to partner with.
Yep. Shout out to Zach, both on the board and keep up with him daily. So give him a shout. He really is the best, and he's done it for a long time now. And he's been around LSU and Louisiana, even though he's up in Iowa, all of his life until he made the move. So Louisiana guy through and through. Just give him a call. Talk things out. Like I always say, no matter your age, if you're a younger listener, older, no matter the financial situation, it's free to just give him a shout and kind of go over things and let him see what he can help you with.
Yep. So reach out to Zach at 319-358-5632 or email him at Zach, Z-A-C-H, Payne, P-A-Y-N-E, at greenstatewm.org. Shay, we led off with what looked like all good news when it comes to Bryce Underwood and Harlan Berry, but LSU did lose a commitment, one we teased earlier this month on this podcast, kind of looking at things and where they stood with Kai Bates. It looked like the writing was on the wall, and the Orlando area prospect did decommit from the Tigers this week. This one actually went from going kind of Tennessee's direction. Looks like it's going Florida State's. He is one of the top cornerbacks in the country, but LSU added Bernard Causey and PJ Woodland this fall after also losing Andre Evans. But Kai Bates was kind of one of those where we didn't get to feel like Andre Evans, where they were on the phone working it and, you know, trying to really get him back. It's, you know, people on the board will say, oh, you know, they need all the corners, which I agree they do.
Yeah, but sure.
The reality is they feel good about who they've added, and this spot is now available for potentially somebody else.
Potentially someone else or potentially somebody out of the portal. And I know exactly. That they kind of struck out on the portal this past year, now that all four of your transfer corners are unavailable. Now, Zy Alexander doesn't count he played for you forever, was your best starter at corner, he gets hurt. And really, J.K. Johnson, the same, he got hurt. But half of them, Denver and Deuce, are not even playing and aren't kind of even with the team. If you're making the eval right and you're only going after one guy, do you say, okay, look, Andre Evans stings losing, but we feel good that, hey, look, we can go out and recruit two more guys in Woodland and Causey, and then we can add a portal guy, and that makes up for a loss of a guy like Bates, who, as you said, we knew this was coming for a month and a half. I mean, we've been saying, guys, don't expect him to end up at LSU. I thought just during that, in that time, he would find a place to flip to. Instead, he's taken a bunch of visits. Now he's decommitted, and we'll see ultimately where it unfolds. Florida State took another corner while he was on campus this past weekend. So I don't really know. I don't follow the FSU side. I couldn't tell you what's going on there, but we'll see if Tennessee tries to make another move on him. regardless, I think you look at the reality that they added Woodland and Causey because they knew that, look, Bates is probably someone that's not going to end up in this class. And then Andre Evans flips on him, which made adding Woodland and Causey all the more important. I think it could go to a portal corner. And I'll say this. I don't know. Look, you'd love experience. That'd be great. Go find a corner who has SEC or whatever experience and bring him into LSU and let him ride. And that's perfect. But if there's a guy out there too who is younger, like, you know, that you think you can develop, it's no different than taking a high school corner. It really isn't. If, you know, there is a first year player out there, whatever it might be, 1 year is not a big difference in terms of we've got a high school guy coming in or we've got a guy transferring that's just been on a college campus for, you know, 8 months or whatever it would have been. So I agree. I think they need as many corners as possible. I also think next year, look, you get Zy Alexander back, hopefully healthy. I don't know what the future holds with J.K. Johnson. Obviously, he's been injured now this season, so we haven't gotten to see him play. But Toviano looks like he's going to be a starter for you at corner. Ashton Stamps looks like he's going to ultimately be a starter at corner. You can bring on a LaTerrence Welsh or see what happens there, but bring in some of these guys and let's see what Juwan Johnson does. Let's see what Bernard Causey or Woodland or some of these guys can do because – yes, you'd like to get a transfer who has that experience, you can plug and play, but there also comes a time for development. And throwing Toviano right now out there against Bama in Florida, like he may take a lump or two, but he's got some real reps under his belt, and you'll feel a lot better about it going into next year. Same for Stamps, who's played a lot, including in both those games. So I'm kind of eager to see them start to play some young guys.
Yeah, I think at this point, I mean, you're going to have to. And that is all in the goal of getting them ready and making their last push kind of for the season to you know, leave a good taste in the coaches' mouths, whether there's changes or not. Brian Kelly's still going to be the head coach at LSU. We do know that. They aren't going to try to top A&M on a buyout. And Brian Kelly has things going in the right direction. But these players are trying to – now kind of play their tails off to set themselves up for next year because LSU can't win the West. You know, they're going to have a bowl game, but this regular season is really important. I would argue, I mean, they're going to play Georgia State this weekend. They'll have guys on campus visiting in the recruiting world, but they've got to get a win against Texas A&M. They absolutely have to. And, you know, that's the last game of the season. We saw how it went last year in College Station. Not good. And that was with an SEC West title and potential playoff aspirations, you know, on the table.
Yeah, I mean, New Year's Six Bowl was on the table at that point.
Yeah, and so this year you're playing for pride, and both programs are. You know, there's a lot of coaches that are going to be coaching for their next job at Texas A&M. So this is going to be an important finish for LSU, and a lot of these young corners are going to be able to contribute to that in potentially a positive way. So that cornerback spot, I agree with you. I would love to see it used on a portal guy. I think one thing too, and you know, LSU took a risk with like a Denver Harris, but
yes,
whenever you're taking a guy who's been on a college campus, even for just a year, you get so much more data on him than a normal high school prospect would. You know, you can usually, if a guy's moving on, you usually get an assist from maybe somebody knows on that staff that, you know, the player's leaving from. What did you think? Is there any reports out there? So you get a little bit more real data when it comes to these transfers. So that's also a positive. Remember, we're just a year removed from LSU killing it in the portal at the corner spot and nailing it. So,
and they also had to take double digit transfers both those years from just because of roster numbers. And you had a lot more opportunity to say, let's take a risk or yeah, let's add that other, you know, let's add a 6D lineman. We've got 7 open spots. Why not do it? And they're closer to the 85 man limit now. Obviously way closer than they've been in the first 2 years of the Brian Kelly era when he took over 38 scholarship players. And now you're bringing in close to 30 high school signees. You're going to bring back a lot of the roster. Billy, up to 55%, more than 50% of this redshirt class could redshirt. this true freshman class that's playing right now could redshirt still. So your roster has now actually got some foundation to it. It's being built. And I asked Brian Kelly, how does that, now that you know your high school numbers, you've got a feel for who's leaving and, you know, who might hit the portal, all that, and you're close to the 85, you can't take double-digit portal guys. And Brian Kelly said he doesn't want to. He said that all along. I want to take well under that. And I asked him this week, now that the portal's open, because, yes, it doesn't open until December, but if your head coach gets fired, it opens immediately. Well, that's A&M, or, I mean, Mississippi State, schools that have players on roster that could hit the portal that LSU would be interested in. And he said, look, it boils down to this year, and this may be the most extreme example, but he said, if we're only taking a very small number of guys, four or five, and he didn't name the numbers, but I'll tell you what they are. They're shooting for five guys, six guys, seven guys. He said, then it needs to be a replacement, not like a depth piece. So if we lose a Malik Nabers, we need to be bringing someone in like a Malik Nabers. We don't need to be bringing in someone who just, you know, oh, he'd be a good six receiver for you to have. So I think when you look at corner, if you're spending a spot there, it's going to be on somebody elite.
Yeah, and I mean, kudos to LSU. Zai Alexander is a difficult projection, you know, moving up from where he was prior to this year. And it's still not perfect, don't get me wrong, but you know, it is one of those things where, yes, you can address numbers, you can do those types of things with depth pieces that maybe have a year or two, but when you are trying to go out and address a major departure, that's where you've got to kill it. And it's going to be really interesting to see how LSU does on that front, because, you know, they're probably going to lose Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, and they're going to have, you know, they're going to need somebody to step up in a big way or go out and find a true elite level transfer at that position. But the portal pod is coming in December, everyone, that we do know. We like to take care of our family at the Bengal Tiger, and that's why we've partnered with HelloFresh. And they've got some of the best meals you could find out there. Very easy to use. I know you're an all-star member. Basically, we'll talk about that. But the holidays are right around the corner, and HelloFresh can help take the stress out of dinner, or any meal, we'll find out, by delivering everything you need to cook up tasty meals right to your door, saving you tons of time. It's the number one meal kit in America.
It's, like I said, we're diamond, platinum, whatever the highest level is, we're there. We've confirmed it through the company. Been there since the start, really. And I will say they have not dropped off. I've been with HelloFresh for years. They just continue to keep getting better in terms of what they offer. The reliability is always there. If your box shows up late, you tell them, they send you it, they credit you right back, get your money, you'll get your new box next week, or they'll send a new one out right away. I'm not having to ad read here. I'm telling you, I live it. I cook HelloFresh at my house three nights a week. We order a box and it comes with three meals. Usually we'll have a little bit of leftovers for lunch the next day for one of us, but it's my go-to. And again, I've said, you go to the grocery store, I will leave with so much waste by the end of the week that I'm just like, okay, I got to toss this, Or I go to cook and I don't have this powder. I don't have that. Everything comes in there. All you need is some salt and pepper, some butter. You're good to go. I am a massive HelloFresh fan. So yeah, try it out. I promise you won't be disappointed. Everybody who I've told to get on HelloFresh has done it. Nobody's complained.
And the holidays are pretty crazy, Shay. You have family coming in or this or that. And that's why you could choose from, you know, 45 different weekly recipes and 100 different picks of meals. And they can also take, you know, 15-minute meals that you can knock out really quickly. That could be a nice little crowd pleaser for the fam coming in town. So look, people are going to be up early, you know, beat you up maybe, have a few cocktails the night before. So make it easy on them and get breakfast taken care of too. And that's why when you go to HelloFresh.com/TigersFree and use code TigersFree for free breakfast for life. That's one breakfast item per box while your subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life at HelloFresh.com/TigersFree using that code TigersFree. Check out America's number one meal kit and now get breakfast included. Shay, as we move on to the Florida game portion of the podcast, where LSU had plenty of top talent on campus, this was a huge recruiting weekend for the Tigers. Look, we're going to talk a little bit about coaching changes around the country and kind of prospects LSU's after, and it didn't end up being, you know, one of those weekends where a ton of LSU A&M battles were on campus, but they had elite level talent back in Baton Rouge. They did have one official visitor. They had Devon Keys, the Aledo, Texas linebacker who's committed to the Tigers. He is enrolling early. And then his playoff run for Aledo, which continues on Friday against Lubbock Cooper, is expected to go deep into the playoffs. And so with Texas, they go all the way basically to the early signing period. So this was his only time to really take this visit. And then he enrolls early. So he took his official visit. They played on Thursday, and he and his family came down. And I'm sure it was a big, big party with all his family that spans really across Louisiana, especially South Louisiana, to come in and celebrate what has been a long commitment for him to the Tigers, but also one that has never wavered.
Yeah, stock riser. Our rankings update this month. And Billy, you've seen him play in person. We've watched his film. The rankings team really, really likes Devon Keys too. So he's a guy that I think they made a very good eval on. His best football was played as a senior, and that's what you want to see.
Yep, no question. And Shay, they did bring on one of the top 2026 or two top 10 2026 prospects. Jakeem Stewart was on campus, and Lamar Brown, two of Louisiana's best, checking out this game, both in the trenches. Both very, very important to LSU's long-term recruiting goals. But also, we talked about Harlan Berry being on campus. Well, James Simon, one of the other running backs that's ranked in the four-star range, top 10 overall running back, he was on campus this past weekend. And, oh, by the way, the prospects that were on campus at the wide receiver position weren't too shabby either. Four-star wide receiver in the class of 2025, Andrew Marsh, was on campus. He's a top five wide receiver. And then one last one that I'll mention is Andrew Maddox. And this one actually got a little bit of attention on our board because his brother is committed to Texas A&M at quarterback in the class of 2024, but he is not going to LSU. They have Colin Hurley committed, and Andrew Maddox is the one that LSU's recruiting in the class of 2025. Matt House was by to see him during the recruiting period, during the bye week, but he's a position of need, 2025 defensive lineman. So they had some star power on campus, Shay.
Yeah, Andrew Maddox is a top five defensive lineman in the country. It's probably notable to say, well, one, that he's from Hattiesburg, but he did not go to my high school. He goes to Oak Grove. So he's probably actually lives in Oak Grove now, but maybe more notably, he is P.J. Woodland's teammate who is currently committed to LSU. So you've at least got your foot into the door there, and you see if you can't get into the mix with a guy like Andrew Maddox, who any lineman or any player is tough to pull out of Mississippi. But, hey, you get in there and you start swinging, especially on South Mississippi kids. Hattiesburg is not that far of a drive from LSU. So, in fact, those Oak Grove and Hattiesburg High kids have gotten down here a lot for games this season. They have some Hattiesburg connections on staff as well, guys who are from Hattiesburg. So a nice little, not pipeline, but they've done well getting South Mississippi kids in for games this season. I'll also say I was on the sidelines. It was the most packed for the Florida game that I had seen any game this year and really in recent year. I don't know why. It was just slammed. So I didn't see every recruit, but Blaine Bradford was probably there. He's a top 10 player in the country for 2026 as well. So don't forget that never bad that Louisiana has three of the top 10 players in the 2026 class. We talked about 2025 being a banner year. These next two cycles are going to be massive for LSU.
Yeah, they've got to knock it out of the park, and they're off to a really, really good start for that cycle. So subscribe to the Bengal Tiger, just $1 for your first month. Get full reactions from those prospects on campus. We're covering it wall to wall as that attention really starts to turn to 2025 and whether LSU can flip some of these prospects from other schools that are going through coaching changes across the country. But first, we've got to talk to you guys about our friends at Rogue Shop. RogueShop.com. Use the promo code BengalTiger to get 10% off your entire order from the shop. I mentioned earlier in the podcast, Richard and Shar doing their live chat whenever you log on their website. They can help you through your process of buying CBD, THC, and more. They can help you through the process and what's best for you, whether you have sleep issues, anxiety, pain, all of those things they can help you with and pick out the best thing for you.
I ran into two people separately at the Florida game who said they were members of the site and then also said that they had ordered stuff from Rogue Shop. So Rogue Shop's a hit right now. It is a, gosh, we've been rocking with them from the start, Billy. But yes, promo code BengalTiger. And they've got so much on the website. They keep adding more. But both people said they were members of the site. Both of them said, and I also listened to the pod and I've ordered stuff from Rogue Shop. So give it a look. RogueShop.com. Easy to find.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Finishing up here, kind of a hodgepodge of discussion on the A&M opening, Mississippi State, maybe Arkansas. UCLA head coach Chip Kelly is expected to get let go, per reports. The coaching carousel is starting to get a little crazy here, Shay, and it's starting 2 weeks before the transfer portal window opening. No surprise there. It's also, you know, gearing up for that early signing period push. LSU is going to host prospects this weekend for the Georgia State game. They're going to host prospects for the A&M game. That A&M game weekend could be one where we see a lot of LSU A&M head-to-head battles show up on campus.
Yes, I think so. I think that I'd start with what's going on with Draylon Miller. If I'm talking A&M, I know he's not committed there anymore. He decommitted, but they have a receiver spot that they would like to fill. He has been the guy they're pushing for. Do they get him on board? Does he show up for that game? We'll see. Courtney Crutchfield, who, as you said, Arkansas could be on the verge of coaching changes. He's already decommitted from Arkansas. Missouri was a team that sort of landed the early trend meter predictions, but he said he might come down for the LSU A&M game. So that right there, you're trying to fill this receiver spot. There's one. I think maybe most notable for me, Billy, if we're going to start with A&M here, is Gabe Relaford. And I know people have talked about Terry Bussey, five-star athlete, phenomenal player, a guy who LSU has recruited from the start. Does he pop back up at the LSU A&M game? But Relaford being an in-state kid who has played phenomenal, again, as a senior at Evangel, who looks the part of as one of the best D-linemen in the country at a position of need, I just think is a must-get. And they still have an official visit. They still have in-home visits. You get him in for that game, and you either it is the official or you follow it up with an official and then in-home visits, I feel a lot better about suddenly 3 weeks later at signing day where LSU sits for him. So he's committed to A&M. He loves Elijah Robinson. Elijah Robinson got the interim tag, but eventually they're going to name a new head coach. And during this stretch, LSU just needs to buckle in, get him to campus as often as you can, and then gear up for in-home visits and an official visit.
Yeah, and Elijah Robinson being named the interim coach is, of course, noteworthy. A&M does have two Louisiana guys committed on the defensive line. But also, I mean, he is one of their top recruiters, so he's recruited all of these guys, and he's being the one kind of in that Brad Davis role where he's going to be on the next staff. I mean, I would be shocked if the next head coach doesn't retain him.
And there's buzz out of Acadiana that – yes, Elijah, and look, Don McKinley, the Acadiana defensive tackle you're referencing, is committed to A&M. And he said, look, if Elijah Robinson's there, I'm there. That's who I've committed to. But there's buzz that he might be popping up on LSU. We know that Texas is pushing for him to visit. So we're keeping an eye on these coaching changes. I also think, Billy, that look, if Arkansas makes a change, Charleston Collins is a D lineman, number one player in Arkansas, and that they've been after forever. And he picked Arkansas over LSU. That's a border state guy. You would not only are they already communicating with him and trying to get him to come in for the A&M game, but if he ends up decommitting or, you know, they have a coaching change and he decommits, he suddenly jumps back into the mix. But also with State and A&M specifically, it their head coaches being fired, that opened the portal window already for them. And there are guys on A&M's roster and there's guys on Mississippi State's roster that LSU would take a very hard look at if they were to hit the portal. I mean, think about it. And even Louisiana guys, like, you need DB help. Jordan Gilbert is a guy at A&M who you probably should have taken out of Baton Rouge, and he's been an excellent safety for them, unfortunately injured this year. And I know there's others on that team like Jacoby Matthews, Le'Veon Moss that are from Louisiana. But if you're talking about taking a smaller and you want to fill a need, Jordan Gilbert's been a multi-year starter. You look at State as DeKamarian Richardson. He was out of North Louisiana. We had him as a four-star guy. LSU never offered. He went to State and has been great. I mean, he's 100-plus tackle career tackles. He's started 20-plus games. He could go to the NFL, but you could also do a Jarrett Bernard converse where, yeah, I've started 4 years somewhere, but or 3 years, but I'm going to go one more year, play, you know, for him, it would be back home. I don't know. I'm just throwing out names here, but Xavion Thomas, who's been electric. I mean, he returned the opening kick for a touchdown against Mississippi State, against Texas A&M a week ago, 97 yards. And he has, what, for the second year in a row, is in the top three in the SEC, top five nationally, and average yards per punt return. Like, we thought Aaron Anderson was going to solve that problem, and then they said, no, we'll just go back to Greg Clayton. He can catch it, and it's not an issue because we've got the best offense in college football. You won't have that next year. Like, do you go get a returner out of the portal and who can also play some receivers? Xavion Thomas has 400 yards receiving this year, so I think it's interesting with these early firings and the portal window opening. Like, the Louisiana guys hit the portal and LSU suddenly say, all right, we like him, let's make a move.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, Xavion Thomas last year, I mean, hindsight's always 20/20, but that was one where, I mean, who knows? Maybe that it's a weapon in the return game.
Well, and proven. He's done it 2 years in a row in college.
Yes. Yeah, he was freshman All-American in 22. As a punt returner. So I think for me, it doesn't sound like, I mean, how many you think, 5, 6, 7 spots from the portal right now, depending on how they finish in 2024, I guess.
Yes. I would guess between somewhere around 5, 6, 7 portal guys, which is just way different than when they were having to take 20 and then get the number down to 16 or 15 or whatever. Like, it'll be under 10.
I would say the biggest thing that I would like to see LSU do is, last year they missed on some defensive linemen, some defense tackle help that they wanted. A couple went to Florida State, I believe. They need to be able to go out and get an elite level player at the receiver position, because that's one spot where I just circle and I kind of get scared looking at next year's roster. And you're just relying so much on development. And when you have 5 or 6 spots, go knock them absolutely out of the park. And if not, you have an awesome 2025 class kind of next year that, if things are going in the right direction, you can really, really capitalize on.
Yeah, I never think LSU lacks for receivers, and that just means it's time for a Shelton Sampson to step up or a Jaylen Brown to step up in year two. But again, Ibiet has been hurt so much, but you presume you're losing Neighbors and Thomas. So I think the one we're all watching is Kyron Lacy. Like, you bring Kyron Lacy back and you've got Kyron Lacy and Chris Hilton. Aaron Anderson obviously still on roster. Can a guy like a Shelton Sampson jump through? Can a guy like Jaylen Brown jump through? But yes, you're right. If they see that, hey, maybe we could take one guy that, you know, would make a difference there, then you spend it. Look, LSU's 7-3. And I'll just use Louisiana guys. If Keon Coleman wasn't on Florida State, that game was a lot closer. I know that. I mean, he put up 100-something yards and 3 touchdowns or whatever. I don't know if LSU wins or not, a lot closer. if Trey Harris Adekoma wasn't on Ole Miss's team as a transfer coming out of La Tech last year, LSU wins that game. He beat LSU. He had his best game of the year, multiple touchdowns, and he was the one who scored at the end and made them miss and lose the game in the final minute. So, yes, I could. You can see how the value, yeah, Billy, of a player like that. Like, everyone thinks quarterback, but you add a receiver to a roster, and that one guy from Louisiana is the reason LSU ended up losing that game.
Yeah, exactly. It's you're going to have a first.
They lost the game because their defense stinks, but
yes, yeah. But your quarterback's going to be a first year starter in Garrett Nussmeier. You need to surround him with as much help as you possibly can. Like, you feel good about running back next year, guys stepping up, things like that. I don't think that's a position you need to address, but you got to address receiver. Like, if you can find a Keon Coleman to bring in, that is just game changing for next year. Cause I just don't, maybe in like, who knows if Shelton Sampson, Jaylen Brown, all those guys, but that next year is going to be their first time playing a lot. So it's worth.
And look, don't be surprised if in with these minimal numbers, if they're going out to find 5, 6, 7 guys, if quarterback isn't one of them. And I don't think it speaks about Garrett Nussmeier at all, really. I mean, I think that they'd have faith in the offense that Nussmeier can run. It'll be different than Daniels. You're not getting that production with the legs, but you're also bringing in some pretty talented running backs here, both on roster next year in Durham, and then obviously following it up with maybe guys like Barry and Simon. But you, regardless of Nussmeier or not, like, Nussmeier's never started a game. You have full faith he's going to be, you know, okay, like, I'm good with him as a starter, obviously, but do you want to be an injury away from your backups being Ricky Collins and Colin Hurley? I mean, Ricky Collins has played in one college game ever, and that was some handoffs against Grambling. I think he threw 2 passes. So that's always a scary thing for college coaches to enter a season where you have a quarterback and then behind him you have somebody who's got no experience at all.
Yep, exactly. I completely agree with you. So we've got a lot of fun coming with the Portal Pod.
Thank God it doesn't start till whenever, December 10th or whatever.
I know. December 4th, the portal opens, and then we make our little sprint from that period to the early signing day and then into January. So it's going to be fun. All the more reason to jump on the Bengal Tiger. For just $1, subscribe to the site, get all the coverage Maddie B is doing with basketball, both men's and women's, but especially right now, women's. And all of our recruiting and team updates as the season winds down and recruiting heats up.
Yeah, look, $1 right now would get you all the way through to signing day and the opening of the portal and the end of the season, bowl selections, all that. So, yes, multiple announcements coming up. Now is the time to – $1 would get you through. Actually, that's more of a steal than it normally would be. I would say that now is the best time to spend that $1 because you get it right up to signing day, which is perfect.
Yep. So check us out, thebengaltiger.com, part of the On3 Network. For Shea Dixon, I'm Billy Embody. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Bengal Tiger Recruiting Podcast. We'll catch you next week.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.